You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Knox foul from behind, count it, and one. As Tristan pumps his fist.
What he does is contagious.
Hardaway to Trier. Trier drives down. Alonzo Trier. Baker launches a three-hander across the lane to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcito, a.k.a. Cormac McStarksy. You may know me as NBA Injury Report on Twitter. And this is episode 360. Woo-wee! On today's show, we're joined by Ashwin Ramnath of Posting and Toasting, and we're going to talk about minutes. Who deserves to start? It's early in the season, but we both think that a change is necessary, and we're going to talk even more about who deserves to get minutes. We touched on this in yesterday's show a little bit, but we're going to have a more in-depth conversation. Seems like a change is afoot. We're going to tell you what we think that change should be. Not only to the starting lineup, we're going to talk about the rotation. Up and down the rotation. We're going to see which guys have earned their minutes and which guys have not. Before we get to that, one quick programming note. I am going to be off next week. I'm going to Mexico for a good friend's wedding that actually starts on Friday. So what's happening is I'm recording two episodes, the first of which you're hearing now, the second of which you will hear the day after that. I'm recording two episodes at one time with Ashwin. So this episode is going to be current, it's going to be fresh, it's going to be wonderful, you're going to love it. So is the second one, but there's a chance that in the second one or two things we say might be out of date. Probably not, because we're talking about sort of like generic evergreen Knicks topics. But just give us a break in case episode number two, which is airing, you know, after this one, which you're listening to now, is a little stale. Stale is not the word. Have I completely submarined your expectations for the next show? I hope not, because I just finished recording with Ashwin, and it's great. I'm telling you, it's an A-plus show right now. So is this one. You're about to hear it. Let's start the show. Hit it, Marth.
Yes.
We're going to start this show with a new segment that goes by the name of Minutes Marxism. Now, it's an age-old truth. Universally accepted that a good basketball team should be run according to the principles of Karl Marx. From each athlete according to his ability, to each athlete according to his need. In other words, in the words of a Western philosopher, you keep what you kill, son! So, let's talk about who deserves to eat some carcass on the Knicks. I wonder if anyone understands what I'm even saying.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Basically, this is a long way of saying people aren't happy with this starting lineup. The Knicks are getting sunned to death coming out of the gate routinely. So I want to talk about possible changes they could make to the starting lineup. Talked about it on yesterday's show just a little bit, but it's a hot topic. The debate rages. The Knicks are sort of in a unique situation where there's so much up for grabs compared to a typical NBA team, compounded by the fact that Kevin Knox, who figured to be starting early in his Knicks career, is out with an injury. So they've got more sort of turmoil in that department than most teams. That makes it interesting to talk about. So who should be in the starting lineup and why? Assuming, of course, Schwinn, that you don't think the starting unit is getting it done. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, it's a fair assumption. I definitely don't think that. I think it's fine. It made sense for this to be the starting lineup. I thought coming out of preseason, like, I didn't really have a big problem with it. But I mean, you see there's a big difference between preseason when half of these guys, like half the NBA isn't trying, and then when the regular season starts where like 90% of the players are trying 90% of the time.
And teams like are also taking the Knicks lightly at first. That's part of it.
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, fine.
Maybe not.
Yeah, well, just, that's fine. Let's
just
give them...
Fuck sure. Me. Just fuck me, I guess. You can just say that. What is your ideal lineup? Do you have one?
Yeah, I mean, I would just not, I don't even know. I don't know if it's ideal. I just think that, like,
based on what's available, nothing's going to be
it's,
ideal.
It's just they time. All, like, you know. let's just put Frank, like, put Frank at point. What are we waiting for here? There's no good reason. Like, Burke is not a starting. Like, I don't care. We don't need to see any more. But he's not a starting point guard, which is fine. I think I've tweeted this out yesterday. I just basically said, you know, Burke is not a starting point guard, and we should bring him off the bench and use him like that. And I had multiple people, like, I had people come at me and act like I was saying that Burke sucks and shouldn't play, which isn't what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, he is not. Nobody else is getting into a rhythm. Nobody's getting into fucking forget nobody else. He's not getting into the rhythm. Nobody's getting into a rhythm. Yeah. At the start of these games, other than maybe Timmy, and that's just like because he doesn't care who's running point, like he's getting his shots up, and that's fine. I don't know, people are hating on him for that, but I'm like, dude, I don't care. On this team, somebody needs to just have the mentality they're gonna get their shots up, so that's cool.
Could part of the problem be that they keep having him run pick and roll with Ennis, or do you think he's just lost the juice in general? Obviously he's not hitting his shots for mid-range. I feel like he was point guarding a lot better at the end of last season, though. Again, that came at the end of a tanking season during lots of garbage time. And that's the kind of thing that we said. Maybe not all of us believed it, but it's real. And now maybe you're seeing, you know, the results of a team at the beginning of the season giving him their best effort or close to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably part of it. But I also think, like, I think the biggest, like, he needs to be scoring to set up his dishing. That's what I think. Like, I think he just needs to be, he is not somebody that's going to, like, Rondo and, like, get in the paint and do these dribble around and, like, find a shooter. Or, you know, like, that's just not what he's going to do. He is going to get into the paint, and then he's going to try and create a shot for himself. Right? That's, like, what – he'll hit the roll man. Right? He might hit the roll man, which is Ennis. Which is, like, whatever. But it's not getting everybody else involved. There's not a lot of, like, he swings it out to Frank. They come around. Like, once – once they do the initial action, it comes back to Burke. The possession's just, like, kind of over, and Burke's going to do whatever. And then there are a bunch of possessions where Burke just doesn't do anything other than dribble and shoot. And, like, I just don't see how that's good for the starting unit. That's fine. That's way better to – that's just the game of, like, a sixth man, right? Like, that's what a sixth man comes in and does, is just come in, what's your job? All right, I just come in and I get buckets. Cool. Like, that's fine. Do that shit off the bench. But we're at a point where, like, Burke is 26, and he's done with his contract after this year. And, like, that's good, and I'm not saying we should bench him, but, like, we just need, like, what is this season about, right? This season is about development and finding out what any of these young kids have. And, like, specifically, I mean, Frank, Knox, Dotson, who we'll get to later, but has definitely been balling, and, you know, to a lesser extent. And I don't mean this because I think they're, like, not good candidates for development. I just think that they're kind of less important in the grand scheme of things. Like Mitchell Robinson and Trier, and, like, you know, then there's, like, 15 layers of shit, and then there's Ron Baker.
So, all right, so it's early in the season, so I don't think we need to get, like, furious at Fizdale for these changes not having happened yet, right? But I do hear you, and I do think long-term, sooner rather than later, they got to move Burke to that six-man role, I think. I think I would like to see, I mean, I know I would like to see Frank at the point. I think it would be nice to see him get a chance to run pick and roll earlier in the game. Usually they come out and Burke does it the first seven times, or they're trying to force it to Ennis in the post, or they're running Hardaway off these double pin down screens, which are good, and they should be doing that. I kind of like the Hardaway actions the most out of those three options I just named. But assuming Frank takes that starting point guard spot, we both want to see that happen. Who would slide over to small forward in this situation?
Probably Dotson. But just real quick on Frank, like,
yeah,
when I say give him a shot, I don't mean, like, another one of these, like, we'll see it out for five games. And see, like, no. Like, just give him, like, 25 games.
Yeah.
And just do it. Like, just, like, again, like, we're not losing anything from this, because guess what? We're not going to win a lot of games anyway. So, like, find out what you have, see what he does over an extended run, and, like, don't freak out when another team goes on an 8-0 run and, like, we look terrible. Like, that's fine. That's just part of him having to learn how to point guard. You know, like, that's part of it.
Yeah.
And he's not going to become this like aggressive shot creator if half the time we're like, yeah, man, be the secondary ball handler while like Trey Burke and Tim and, you know, Ennis are like doing whatever. And then the other half of the time we're like, yeah, so now you got to be point guard and create for like all these guys that can't really create their shots except for Trier, who is going to only try and create his own shot. Which, like, you know, I'm fine with Trier, actually, but that's just what his game is, right? But yeah, like, just give him a run at point guard because we're not losing anything from it. But yeah, small forward, yeah, Dotson, right? Like, that's right, until Knox gets back, then there's at least some competition. But like, what's his competition right now?
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, the obvious like counter people might have is, I don't know if it's obvious. I do think he's a little bit small for three, even though he's like a wing, I guess it's settled. I mean, twos or wings too, depending how they play. But huh?
He's mad thick though.
Yeah, I guess he is.
Like, he's stronger.
He doesn't have great size for a wing, right? No, I mean, like, there's wings that are much bigger than him.
But like, he looks chiseled. Like he would get bodied by like some of these big threes and stuff. But I don't know. Like during the Boston game, sure, Tatum like cooked him because Tatum cooks a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't think Tatum was bullying him around. I saw too, like last year when we played Boston, I remember Tatum bullying Tim around. Like, I remember him just straight bodying Tim, like him, right, and Jaylen Brown just bodying him in whatever that was. It was like the second game of the season or some bullshit.
But even forgetting like, that, like, I raised that objection, but it's not that important to me because, like you said, I think Dotson is someone who is much more potentially a part. I don't know if you said this exactly, but in so many words, much more potentially a part of the future than Burke is. And right now he's certainly playing equally as well as him, probably better, right? It's
don't lie, it's James. Games, you know I've been repping for Dotson in the Slack since the summer.
During summer league, I was like, I think Dotson just sucks. So
yeah.
Okay. We learned from the Lance Thomas preseason extravaganza that not all two-game runs are sustainable forever. But I think Dotson is infinitely better than Lance Thomas. And
I think the difference is Dotson, like, you watch how he plays, and like, he creates shots just off of his movement within like the offense, right?
Right.
So he's not a player that if you throw him in like these, you know, bullshit glorified like exhibition type games where dudes are just trying to get contracts and do whatever to get noticed.
What up, Black Ops?
Yeah, like that's just like, that's not going to be his thing. But when you watch him now when he comes in games, like, you know, you just think to yourself like, wow, Hornacek was so right to not play this kid last year over
Lance that Thomas. Was honestly the wildest thing I've ever seen. I want to keep shitting on Hornacek and I want to keep talking about the starting lineup and other rotation spots that need some adjustment in terms of what minutes they're getting. But before I do that, just want to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the, what's it called? Yeah, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We're going to get back to the show in just 1 second, but I got to talk about something that's extremely important, and that's your boner. You know, even if you think your boner's decent, let's be honest, you know that it could be better. And there's no better way to improve your boner than going to BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color, B-L-U-E. Get your mind out of the gutter. BlueChew.com. It brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-improved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You don't swallow it, you chew it. You can take it anytime. And the good thing about a chewable is you break it up, and it gets into your bloodstream quicker and makes your boner better quicker. If you have to swallow it, you got to wait for, like, time relief capsules and all that. No. Now with Blue Chew, you go, because let's be honest, you don't know when sex is going to happen. I mean, sometimes you do. And shouts to you guys who schedule it or pay for it. There's nothing wrong with sex work. It's all, you know, honorable, in my opinion. But Blue Chew is just going to make all of that, whether it's scheduled or not, a hell of a lot better. What I want you guys to do is visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, Locked On. All you gotta do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Try promo code Locked On and you'll get your first shipment free. Blue Chew, it's better, cheaper, faster, easier, get a better boner, Blue Chew. Okay. Let's get back into it. What were we doing? Making fun of Hornacek?
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah. I mean, like, this, the Dotson thing is so insane to me. Because nothing he's doing... Everything he's doing right now is
what we thought
everything...
he could do.
It's like everything that was on his scouting report coming out of college. Right. Like, oh, he can shoot. Oh, he rebounds. Oh, he's, like, a pretty good defender that can defend the wing positions and one sometime. Like, what the hell... What were we looking at last year? Like, oh, well, yeah, he doesn't grit it up like Lance Thomas.
When Tim went down, you know, and KP was down, it was one of the wildest decisions I've ever seen. As far as just, like, what a no-brainer. I know it didn't have any sort of, you know, lasting impact for the league or whatever, but there was support it.
But no, but like it does impact us because right now, like, all right, look,
historically, like, people are going to be like, I'll never forget some Celtics fan 10 years from now or whatever, some fan
but
from
like,
not
what
a
I
horrible.
Mean is, like, it does, it sucks because, look, obviously it's really nice that he's showing us what he's showing us right now.
Right.
But, like, we don't know if he's going to keep shooting at this clip. Like, we're pretty sure he can defend at this rate. We're pretty sure he can rebound at this rate. But, like, shooting is kind of. I mean, that's going to determine, like, ultimately whether he's just a dude that hangs around at the end of benches or, like, if he's a real rotation player, potentially a starter. And if he had fucking played last year we didn't have any wings and started Lance fucking Thomas at the three for God knows how long, like, maybe we would have found that out. But instead, we decided, like, nope, we're just going to have Lance out there at the three murdering lineups for 6 weeks. Fucking.
This is a beautiful. No, this is a very eloquent transition. Very classy transition to Lance Thomas. I'm hearing that you may not think he deserves to stay in the starting lineup.
Don't think he deserves to be in the NBA.
Make your case.
Honestly,
Elevator pitch me.
What did you do? Tell me, like, if you can. Who sucks, right? Okay, Moutier sucks. We all crap on Moutier all the time. But if you were like, what NBA skill does Moutier have? Like, he can penetrate into the lane, and he has good vision. Like, he might turn the ball over, but you also see those flashes, especially in the open floor, where you're like, wow, like, this dude can really dish the rock. You see that. With Lance, it's like everybody's like, oh, well, he's a really good defender. No, he's not. He's not a good defender because part of defense when you're a fucking four is rebounding the ball. And unless you're KP on offense, like,
right,
you can't get away with just being a bad rebounder. And Lance Thomas
best rim protectors in the league also.
Right. And, like, Lance is neither a great rim protector, nor is he... Like, what does he do on offense other than take the worst driving layups I've ever seen in my life?
This is what I'm trying to...
I just want to
crow a little bit, because everyone was like, you've been too hard on Lance. Look how good he was in the preseason. And I'm not happy that Lance Thomas stinks, but I am happy that my take was solid. I'm in the take business. You know, what do you want from me? So I gotta rub it into people's faces when I'm right every once in a while. And one of my big things was people were like, oh, he's got that shooting percent, you know, from beyond the arc. He shoots 40%. But you can run him off that line so hard, and he's going to throw the ball out of the gym on some weird off-balance layup attempt that doesn't even hit the backboard. Like, that's just going to happen if he doesn't bobble it on the way there first. Like, you know, respect to Lance Thomas and all the work he's put in. New York born and bred, like, love you guy, but not getting it done on the basketball court.
The three-point thing, it never made sense to me. I'm like, okay, so he shoots 45%. I don't know, whatever he shoots, I don't really care. Let's say he shoots 45% from three. That's awesome, but he shoots, like, I think he attempts 1.5 per game or something.
Last year, he averaged a half a three a game, so he'd make one every other game.
Yeah, so that's the most unimportant. Like, his volume is so insignificant that it doesn't matter even if he's shooting 100% from three, it quite literally does not matter that much at all.
So I think we both agree. He doesn't deserve a starting spot.
Hold on. We're not done with Lance. Because, like, the other thing that people,
I tried. I know there's some Knicks fans out here who don't like hearing us talk poorly about guys on our squad, but.
Okay, so he's some really good ISO defender or something. Sure, like, whatever. I don't. That's fine if you want to give him
he's
that.
Overrated,
but, like,
though.
Defense is a lot more than just about ISO. Like, it's not just an ISO thing. It's not just like one on one. It's not like five separate matchups of just one on one.
No, I mean, I was ragging on Kanter yesterday for the same reason, because people see possessions where he holds his own on the block, but how often do people even run that play? 90% of the time, people are running him around screens, and then he's toast.
Yeah, and it's like with at least with Kanter, though, like, again, Kanter has like two NBA skills, right? He is an incredible offensive rebounder, and he can score efficiently around the bucket. Like, these, like, whatever we say about Enes Kanter, like, he deservingly is in the NBA. He doesn't deserve that contract, but he 100% deserves to be in the NBA. Like, Lance Thomas has no role in the NBA other than the fact that he tries hard and runs around like an idiot.
He dives. Like, I really appreciate people who lay it all out there and, like, really go 100%, but... God forgive me, but I swear to God, sometimes he knows he has no chance and he lays out for a ball just so it looks like he's trying hard. Am I being a jerk by saying that?
I mean, maybe, but like at the same time, it's like, look, when Lance was good, that one year when he was good, I loved Lance. I like loved Lance because it's great to like, wow, this guy was undrafted and nobody thought he could make the
NBA. I think that's part of why I've turned on him, because I loved him so much and then I realized how bad he was. I was like, no. Oh, I've been duped.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like everyone's still hanging on to this mirage we saw 3 years ago or whatever. It's 3 years, literally 3 years ago now, three seasons ago. And it's like, dude, that guy is gone. That guy was just, had a 45-game hot streak. And you know what, you used to be, are you a baseball fan? I'm not a huge baseball fan.
No, I am. Like, I don't really follow it closely, but.
Do you remember that guy, Brady Anderson, back in the day?
On the Orioles?
Yeah, like, this guy randomly hit 50 home runs one year. Got paid and then never did shit again. It's like, that's Lance Thomas.
He also got caught with PEDs, then lost 100 pounds.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, Lance Thomas is not PED. Maybe he's, I don't know. Even if he is, I don't think it matters. But yeah, like that's basically Lance Thomas, though, right? He had this awesome year, and then all of a sudden, it's just like his body broke down. Then when he was, and since then, even when he's healthy, he just does not have the same whatever the hell it was that he had that year. Does not have.
Je ne sais quoi. So let's, all right, we've shit on him enough. Who should replace him in the starting lineup?
Right now, it's like, I don't even like Hezonja because I think he's insane. But just like, again, he at least has some upside, right? Like, if Lance was 23, I would still be like, all right, I would take Lance over Hezonja because I can just talk myself into like, yeah, you know, maybe he'll learn six, seven, five, whatever it is, like these things, and he can be like, no. But I think Lance is 29 or 30 or something.
He's 30.
He is what he is. Hezonja, like, is crazy, and even when he plays well, I don't really trust in, like, I don't trust the process. I don't at all.
Let me stop you here for a second, because there's something interesting about Hezonja. We've seen him look kind of wild with these flashes of, you know, incredible shooting that don't seem to last very long. But interestingly enough, it's so early and there's so much context, so this is kind of bullshit. But it is sort of interesting. There are five lineups that have played 10 minutes or more so far this season, and there's only three that have a positive net rating, because Fizdale's just been like subbing guys. So there's not a lot of lineups that, you know, have gotten like a lot of time together. But there's three that have a positive net rating, and all three of them have Hezonja in it. All three of them have Vonleh in it, and all three have Trier in it. And you know, that could just be, that's just like 10 minutes. It's like one run in a game or whatever. When the Knicks have been successful in this early season, Hezonja has been on the court for a lot of it. So I don't know what that says, because I watch him play and I'm like, this guy needs a lot of work. His decision making seems incredibly flawed, and almost like he seems like one of these guys who isn't really reading the game and is randomly deciding what he's going to do at the beginning of a possession. Not all the time, but it seems like he's not kind of processing what's in front of him a lot of the time. Do you think that's fair to say?
I think that is fair to say, but I think what that tells us is that, like, I mean, that's exactly why he should start, right? Because, like, when he does play well, his skill set is one that, like, won any team in the NBA. His theoretical skill set, right? Like, not we're talking about what he actually has output, but just his, in theory, when he is good, like, that type of player is very much valuable to any NBA team. So when he plays well, like, he gives us a dimension that the only other guy that we have that can kind of provide that is Knox, right? And, like, there's a reason why we all are high on Knox and think Knox can be good.
Yeah.
But, like, Hezonja was basically Knox 3 years ago, or whatever the hell he was drafted. Like, that's the player that he – that's the archetype of player that he is kind of, like, supposed to be. It's not shocking to me that he features in a lot of those lineups. And, like, yeah, I mean, he was really good in that Bucks game randomly. But again, like, go back and watch that Bucks game. And I mean, this is the thing with Mario is, yeah, he is good sometimes because he does have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
But his decision making and the process of what he does is so crazy sometimes that like over a longer sample, are those highs going to like outweigh the periods when the crazy decision making isn't counterbalanced by like his hot streaks?
Right.
You know, like can he just be a smarter player? Because if he can just be a smarter player, then I think
he's got
like,
a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot going for him. But he has to be smarter. Like yesterday during the game, there were at least three times he was just like looking. He got lost on defense and left open a guy from three during that like ridiculous shooting display Miami had.
Right.
Like there was that one where it was so funny because I think Nick Film School tweeted it out. So it was like a possession where Olynyk and Dragic were at the top of the key. They ran some like dribble handoff or whatever. So Frank ended up getting switched onto Olynyk, and then Hazonia was on Dragic.
Okay.
And Frank was like a step away from Olynyk. Olynyk was about to launch it, and then Frank took a step in and got a hand up. So Olynyk was like, nah, you know, Frank's got those like freak alien arms. And he was like, nope, not going to do that. So he just swings it to Dragic, and Dragic, like Hazonia's a step away from Dragic. Dragic like is loading it up, and Hazonia is just like staring at him mindlessly without trying to do anything. And then like Dragic elevates, and all of a sudden Hazonia's brain goes off, and he's like, oh yeah, I should probably contest that.
I mean, he's in that mold. I mean, last year's Beasley experience was really instructive for me as a fan of basketball, because he came in with all these insane quotes about like what a great scorer he is, and everyone knows he's the best scorer in the NBA.
Mellow on the left.
And then you watch him play, and he actually is incredibly talented, and it goes to show how much this decision-making process can influence how good of a basketball player you are. You know, there's things on the defensive end too, and that's like a whole different, you know, part of that equation. But Beasley was absolutely incredible. He would have these like feathery, soft, weird angled layups. Like, how did that even go in? But that decision-making process wasn't there, and it really limited his effectiveness. Hazonia struggling with the same thing. I want to talk about Enes Kanter and other lineup decisions up and down the rotation. We'll close out the show with that stuff. But before we get to that, just want to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local daily sports podcast network. All right, let's talk about Enes. Do you think he can stay in the starting lineup?
I mean, he's going to. If Vonleh was 3 inches taller, then
it's tough. 6'9" is tough.
It is, and we saw that last night. Like as bad as I really, really want Vonleh to start, like, you know, yeah, sure. Enes got bodied by Whiteside too, but like, you know, Vonleh did too. So it's not like you know what I mean.
Yeah,
as much as I would just love to be like, no, Enes can't do it. No, but like you just. I think we just have to eat it for now and like start Enes until and unless there comes a point in the season when Fizz is just like, yeah, no, I think Mitch is ready, and then you just like start Mitch. But
what's non-negotiable should be, no matter what, Burke and Enes can't be on the floor together to start the game, right?
Yeah, no, that can't happen. Like that just it's you know what happened yesterday in the game, if like people don't really want to go back and rewatch it, which, you know, probably don't. But like in the first half, Miami, if you watch them, like they always run all this like intricate, awesome like movement stuff that they've probably installed over like the centuries that Spoelstra seemingly has been there.
Uh-huh.
Now, but like in the second half, they were just like, nah, you know, fuck that. Like we're just gonna run 1-5. Like anybody that whoever Burke was guarding, because they basically have like these three guards. It's like Dragic and then Richardson, who are like kind of co-ball handlers, and then Magruder, who they just found out of nowhere, that's pretty good too. But like it's like any of those guys, whoever Burke was guarding, basically like that was their target to try and run a pick and roll against Enes, like with Enes, right? So it was like whoever Burke was guarding, and then Whiteside would come up and screen for them, and they would just run a pick and roll. And like what did they get, like 98 lobs from that and 47 yeah. threes or something? It was like if we collapsed on the pick and roll, they were finding shooters. If we didn't collapse on pick and roll, it was just a dunk every time, every single time.
Yep.
So it's like those two together are just, what's the opposite of Voltron? It's the opposite of Voltron. They're like the opposite of basketball Voltron.
It's like a house of cards. It's like, some sort of, yeah, some sort of like a toothpick house, some sort of fragile house is the only metaphor. Like what just like bloat, like just like falls over with the easy, it's, I'm too architectural here. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, even like, it's like, I want
Oh, it's like brushing your teeth and then drinking orange juice? Just like terrible combinations?
But like, I wanted to get so mad at Ennis yesterday. I was like, during the game, I was really pissed about it.
It's
but
like
just
being
like,
drenched in water and licking the third rail, I think.
Are you so, were you still searching?
Yeah, I'm still. I'm gonna, not going to stop. This is it for the rest of the podcast for me.
You're listening to Locked On Metaphor.
This hilarious riff on OJ and toothpaste is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Okay. What about... Okay, so I think we're hearing right now, I could live with a starting lineup of Frank. Timmy's got to stay in, right?
I mean, yeah, there's... I know that people, like, don't like almost despise Timmy, but it's like you got to be realistic. Like, who are you even trying?
No,
like you can't replace four starters. Like, especially not with the guys we got on the bench right now with Knox out too. Like, what are we going to throw Baker out there? Start Baker? No, like we're good.
Yeah, as someone who's been standing so hard for Baker, he's really looked like booty cheeks so far this season.
You know, and it's not just the shot with him right now. It's like, I don't even think his defense has been that good so
far. Not great. I really kind of like when he ran into Vonleh's elbow, it didn't come out of nowhere, the elbow. It was just there. And he ran into it. I was like, man, this guy doesn't even know like where his head is in the world. He can't like map that out in relation to other dudes' elbows. He's just always running into shit. I don't know. It was like a real low point for me. I got really depressed when I saw that.
I thought about this yesterday, maybe in the Slack or maybe just to myself, but like, I wonder if, because he hurt his shoulder going around a pick or something, right? Like, isn't that how he hurt it? Trying to fight over a screen?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, yeah, like, Anthony Davis also fouled the shit out of him, but he did try to get in his way for some reason, which was absurd.
But yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he tried to fight over a pick, and that's how he screwed up his shoulder. And I just, like, when I've been watching him this year, he keeps getting, like, burned, or he's just getting burned a lot more on screens than he used to, and I'm wondering if some of that is just him, like,
trigger shy.
Yeah, he's just a little, I mean, I get it, like,
that's understandable.
That was a real painful injury, but like, yeah, I mean, until he tried to take somebody off the, I think he tried to take Whiteside off the dribble yesterday and finish at the rim, and I was just like, yeah, sure, dude. Sure,
just,
man.
They just have so many dudes who are scared of offense that it like, they all magnify each other and make each other look worse. And he's just...
And then all the offense guys are all like these ISO gunner specialists. And it's like, man, just give me... Like, that's why Dotson is that actually just makes me super happy to watch him. Because, like, he's pretty good on offense and he's not scared. But he does it without... Like, he just finds these open... Like, if you just watch Dotson off the ball, it's like, I want all of our guys to be like that off the ball. Because he's always moving and trying to find space. And, like, he's just playing basketball. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about systems and all this bullshit all the time. But it's like, really, man, you just need guys that, like, especially your supporting guys, like, they just need to keep finding space that's being created.
No, that's totally true. Like, you can run a pretty decent offense just with guys who know how to play together, like, basically. I know I'm simplifying things a lot. But setting screens for each other, you know, passing and then cutting and seeing if you can hit a back door. Like, these basic actions, give and goes, like, they still work, you know, and can be done.
That's, like, what good offenses are built around, right? Like, they're built around these base actions. So, yeah, I don't know. We just need more of these guys. And, like, I think Frank is a good system player, but I think he just is still in this mode of, like, he's thinking everything through so much at all times. And it's like... Like, that stretch he had against Brooklyn in the third quarter where he was just like, yeah, no, I'm just going to keep running pick and roll. It's like, it wasn't a coincidence that he buried, like, you know, three shots in pretty quick succession and, like, had a couple of assists. And it's not surprising to me yesterday that, you know, when, like, once, I mean, I don't know, he was actually good in, I thought he was really good in the first half, too, but it was different. It was, like, more controlled. But in the fourth quarter, during the possessions when he just did take the ball and do stuff on the pick and roll, like, he created good shots. And, you know, every time he runs pick and roll and just runs it and doesn't, like, hesitate or come around the screen like, oh, I desperately need to find an open shooter so everybody knows I'm a good point guard. Like, when he just plays and does, like, takes what the defense is giving him, he looks so much better. So, I don't know, with him, it's just like, dude, you just he just needs to play point and get reps, and, like, we'll just see if he can turn those periods of games and those glimpses of in games to, like, more sustained brilliance.
I will say, for me, I just expect that to be all over the place, even if they give him more minutes this year and give him that starting point guard role, which I think they will at some point. I just, you know, it's going to be a hard habit for him to break on, right? Like, he is, his natural mode is not this guy who's just like, I'm going to get mine, and, you know, I'm going to go after it the same way a lot of these guys are. And so I feel like his development, and that's fine. Like, he's going to be all up and down, I think, this season. And I feel like he can still be really good if that's the case. I don't know, like, how much... Like, what do you think is a reasonable best-case scenario for him this season? What does that look like to you?
Like, if we're just... Like, he just starts point the rest of the season?
Yeah. Like, he's given every opportunity, which is not a guarantee. But let's say,
like,
he is, like, pretty soon.
10, 11, let's say like 11 points.
Yeah. 5 assists?
5, 6 assists, something in that range. And the one thing, I don't care what, he has to rebound more. Like, he's got to rebound better because he's fucking 6'6". Like, give me a break, dude. Hit the, like, and I know he's good about
boxing. Well, if he's playing the 3, if he's guarding the other guy's small forward, it's a little less like he's not going for rebounds against. I know it doesn't always match up one to one like that.
No, but like, but that makes, like, it even that makes it even more
closer to the rim.
Yeah, and like he actually is. If you watch him, like, he is good about boxing out and stuff. But it's like, sometimes you just got to go and, like, you just got to go get it. You just have to go and get the ball. And like, I feel like he's always trying to clear out space and, like, be this good teammate and, like, let other. It's like, no, dude, just go get the ball. Go get the ball.
I think he's going to get there, though. He has all these... His faces are so funny, and his face starts melting and shit when he gets excited. So, like, I think that's in there. I do think it's in there.
I think it almost came out... Like, Breen had this entire thing yesterday. He was like, oh, I've never seen Frank get this upset before, and I think he was upset because, like, he missed the pass to Lance, you know, like, on that, when he was in the post and Lance was cutting. And I'm like, no, dude, I think he was upset because I think he wanted to yell at Lance because, like, Lance kind of... stopped cutting hard,
yeah,
and then saw the pass, was like, oh shit, and then started running because, you know, Lance just always,
that's a Lance hard move. I've seen Lance do that a couple of times. He's like, oh, my bad, he slaps his chest, which, like, good for him, you know. But
yeah, I mean, that leadership, like, no, but I think, like, I was like, I, like, wanted him to yell at Lance because, like, that would be a good sign to me. Like, people, like, this other thing that happened yesterday, right? Like, I saw a lot of people on Twitter getting mad that, like, Tim Hardaway yelled at Cantor for playing bad defense, and I'm like, no, dude, like, he should yell at Cantor for playing bad defense, because it's not like, you know, if KP did that, he wouldn't yell at him, right? But you know why? Because KP, like, he knows that 90% of the time KP is going to be there to have his back.
Yeah,
like, he's going to,
no, it's funny, yes, on yesterday's pod, you know, I saw that, you know, when I was watching the game, and I did bring up, I was like, Cantor looks like he did screw up. I'm not sure if Hardaway did the right thing, but after sleeping on it for a night, and yeah, it's, you know, it's fine. Like, these guys,
Cantor
are gonna
didn't say anything.
Yeah, he
Cantor didn't say anything. Yeah. He didn't react. He knew he was right. That's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't get mad that Hardaway was yelling at him. And I don't think Cantor's a, like, I'm pretty confident if there's one thing I can say about Cantor is he's not afraid of anybody. Like, if he's not gonna back down to Erdogan, right, like, I'm pretty sure that right, he's not gonna back down to Tim Hardaway Jr. No, but, like, he didn't say anything because he knew he was right.
Yeah.
He knew he was right, and he didn't say anything. And if you go back and watch it, I even said it in our, like, little Slack at the time, but I was like, if you go back and watch it, Cantor, like, the next two or three defensive possessions, they were good defensive possessions. They were really solid defensive possessions. So, like, I think in that little short stint, Tim Hardaway freaking out.
I mean, accountability to your coworkers is huge in any industry. And me being a business expert, you know, I know all the industries.
As an entrepreneur of my podcast.
This is a great conversation. I hate to wrap it up, but we do have to wrap it up because of time constraints. The listeners, you guys know because of the introduction that I'm actually recording this episode and the next episode in one go. So what we're going to do, for the sake of a nice clean edit, is wrap up this episode. And then Schwinn and I are going to record episode number two. But Schwinn, since we are wrapping up this episode, and some jerk-off out there might only listen to this one and not the next one for some reason, I don't know why, you don't want to let this free advertising opportunity pass you by, why don't you let the listeners of Locked On Knicks know where they can find you online, and if there's anything you want to plug?
You can find me online at Schwinnipoo on Twitter and on Posting and Toasting. That's the site I write for. James also posts his podcast on there. You might know that. I'm going to work on some kind of article about Frank, and we'll probably talk about some of the stuff that I'm going to touch on in the article. But yeah, that's about it right now.
All right. Thank you, Schwinn. That's it. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Knicks. If you have a moment, and only one moment, please rate us on iTunes. Helps a lot. Subscribe to the show if you have not already, and you'll get it the second it's released. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. The more we grow, the better show that we can provide to you. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks for bonus takes and general camaraderie. Follow me on Twitter at NBA Injury Report for jokes, and even more jokes about basketball. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it all the way down. Always salt the pasta water. Take that. For data, Biggie's better than Pac. Peace.